footpaths are in an awful state, grass cutting. People pay a lot of are paying their property tax down there. We need to ensure that the council are giving a service back to the people for the monies that they pay. And they're obviously the basic functions of your council: footpaths, roads, lights, grass cutting, you know, the basic things. Another big issue with people, I find, is, again, our community has aged quite a bit. You know, people walking the dog, we don't have a bin in the park. You know, we have this leave no trace policy, which to me is nuts. Every place else I go, I can find a bin, but for some reason we don't want to have them in Shannon. But those actually are the issues that I'm actually getting on the door when I talk to people, you know, who are walking their dog, and it's a beautiful parkland. The grass needs to be cut a bit more often, and we need a bin for that. They're the basic stuff.
And is there a sense that people are being let down on that at the moment, that they're, as you mentioned, paying their taxes, but they feel that those improvements that they're looking for aren't being delivered?
It would be wrong of me to say that there isn't a frustration amongst people that they're not delivered, you know. But again, I don't know why. I leave other people do what they're doing. I know certainly what I want to do, and I've certainly had a good impact over the years in relation to that. I suppose when I say I finished in 2016, I didn't finish answering the phone. I still get 2 phone calls every single week for people looking for assistance. And that kind of drove my decision in the end, because at the minute, the assistance I can give is informal when you're not elected. I mean, I won't get a written reply. No, in fairness, I'd be wrong. I have gotten a few written replies back, but it makes it awkward for the officials themselves to respond to me if you're not elected. Whereas if elected, that makes my job a lot easier and their job a lot easier. But I'll work with the council to deliver whatever services, you know, we can down there.
In terms of, I suppose, broader issues in the Shannon area, we know that Shannon is one of the greatest areas of preference for social housing in the county. Is that something that you'd be looking to advocate for, more social housing developments in the area?
We have a lot of social housing, and you're right, you said we've had a number of those schemes built in the last few years. But I'd like to see an affordable scheme, you know, for people. We have a lot of young couples in as the Taoiseach described recently, the back bedroom. My own son had actually moved back in with me for 2 years. He was building a house, had bought a house, was refurbishing. And so, like, we have to get that situation sorted in an affordable housing scheme where people, young couples, can buy a house at an affordable price, you know, to take it. And there's a number of schemes available at the minute, but we don't have the houses now. So one of our challenges, going back to 2009-11, we lost a lot of the local builders. I could name them, but I won't, in fairness. But what happened was, effectively, they would be the builders that would build 60, 80 houses. Then they'd buy the next site, and they'd build that one out, and then they'd move on again. But 2009-11, by way of retirement in some cases, and by way of the pressures of the buildings at the time, we lost some of those developers. Now, I believe one of them is back. They're small, local builders who were building. And you have to have those builders in your local community, you know, to get that type of an affordable housing scheme built, or indeed any scheme built, you know. Currently, we have a project being built behind the Oakwood in Shannon, and there's houses available there. There's 3 affordables available there. They're a bit on the pricey side, maybe, for the ordinary couple, because they're income-based, but there could be up to 11 houses there. But I'd like to see an actual scheme, maybe 30, 40 houses made available to couples. And if that happened, that would free up rental property in the town. It would free up the other challenge, you know.
You mentioned that you've been knocking on doors and hearing of particular issues that are pertaining to people. Are some people complaining that they feel locked out of housing? Is that something that you're experiencing?
When I say young people, we categorise that to the 25 to 40-year-old. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, the younger lads are getting on with their other lives, if you know what I mean. But the 25 to 40-year-old needs to have, you know, they're either getting married or they're living together, whatever they do, and they need a place to put their feet down and start whatever life and family they want. So we need to make that available to them, you know, that process. Now, we have a lot of zoned land in Shannon, you know, service land, and I would hope to be able to work with the council to bring about a scheme. Now, again, that takes a while, you know, that's not going to happen overnight. We also need elderly step-down housing. We would have had a couple of schemes at Ross and Shannon where 6 houses were built for the elderly and disabled specifically, so they could step from their own house into a step-down bungalow-type accommodation. There's an absolute need for that. I mean, we'd have a lot of houses in Shannon where there's only one person living in the house, you know, and I think if something was made available, the council could acquire that house and they could move to the other house. There are schemes available on that. Those are things that I'd like to see. And they all come in within the remit of the councillor and the council itself. You know, the other scheme that's out there, I believe, is a massive scheme. Eamon Ryan brought it in. He's a man that gets a lot of criticism, but I think he does a lot of good as well, you know, as the free warmer home scheme, whereby if you're a pensioner and you're on the fuel allowance, we'll just take one, you can get the house insulated for free. If the windows are bad or the roof is bad, they'll actually replace the windows and repair the roof or replace the roof. And the whole idea there is to number one, to the fuel poverty side, to stop that and to reduce the carbon footprint. So it's free. Now, it will take 2-2.5 years to get it done once you apply, because to roll out a scheme like that is colossal, and the workers aren't there, you know, to do it. But they will be there, and they will be built in 2-2.5 years. My daughter-in-law's mother got it done there about a year back. Fantastic scheme.
So would you argue then that a lot of what you'd be hoping to bring to the table would be communication as well, in informing people what is available to them and what they can avail of that will benefit them?
That's a lot of it, actually. A huge amount in Shannon. We had a network meeting there in the Oakwood a while back, and one of the issues was we lost the local newsletter. We lost the Clare Courier, Eugene McCafferty and Cathy, who had done a great job over the years informing the local community through the newspaper. But that's gone, and we're told, oh, well, you have to go online, but you're... The average age in the room that night was over 55. You know what I mean? So we're trying to get that out. No, pardon, Taylor Femme, and those who listen to, trying to communicate that message. You know, to people that might be struggling, like in their own home, in their own house, and you're trying to say, lads, this scheme is there. You know, and things like that. Communication is a big issue, you know. But again, we leaflet drop that information. I know the areas of the town whereby the houses would be, they're pre 2006 if the house is built. And the town, as I said, the town is ageing. I mean, I know where practically everybody lives in the main, in the town. So there's different sections of the town that were built 40, 50 years ago. I'll be 50 years in the town next year. I've raised 4 kids there. I have 5 grandchildren there, all in the town, and all in the town or in around. Well, one that is in Mungrace, he's not too far from the town. But my interest is in the town, the future, as it always was. Same with the industrial base. To generate jobs and employment in the area, and to have good quality accommodation and services available to people in the area.
There'll be many people who'll be looking at you now, canvassing and thinking, oh, I remember Tony. And of course, you've mentioned your years of service as well. You'd imagine that some people will be thinking you served for a certain number of years, and there could be a perception out there that you've had your chance, I suppose, to make your mark. What would you say to that?
I continued on. If I didn't lose the Senate seat, I didn't lose it. Trust me, I drove Ireland. I didn't lose it on purpose, but unfortunately, the public didn't have a say in that one. And then, as I said, for personal reasons, I couldn't run in 19. There's a 5-year gap. And I had no interest in running the 2020 general election because we had a huge amount of challenges within the house itself. And I ended up having a triple bypass myself in 2020. So that would have put a stop to a whole lot of other stuff anyway. But feel good now and feel ready to give it a go and go back and see what we can do, you know. And that's all you can do, Sean, is do your best, you know, and be honest with the people and just give it them straight, you know. I mean, I could decide to go away and lie down and do nothing and then watch it falling down around me, but I'm not going to do that.
And you'd be imagining that your years of service would be a benefit to you as well, I suppose, in terms of knowing how the right doors to knock on, the right people to go to get things done?
I would think so. I would know so, you know what I mean? I certainly would hope so, you know, but we need a response. Like, I mean, we have a lot of... Like, Shannon is a super town, and I'm running the Shannon electorate, the Shannon district. I mean, this is what the election is about. It's that district. That district stretches all the way over to Westbury. You know what I mean? So it's a massive district. I mean, there are and will be 7 councillors elected, you know. But I will have to, like, you can't do it all. Like, and I think that's the biggest thing in politics. People try to be something, be all to everything and be everything to everybody. That's not possible, you know. And I have a very tight area running from Shannon out to Shannon to Bunratty, back into Newmarket, back to Stonehall, that area there itself. My colleague John Crow runs in the bridge, PJ Ryan, you know. So there's enough councils spread across the constituency to take care of their own particular areas and try their best to provide the best possible service in those areas. But I'll work with anybody that's elected. I don't, all parties, none.
On the subject of party, your party, Fine Gael, has taken a hit in recent months, it has to be said. Why have you stuck with Fine Gael?
I was born into it, literally, as well. But I don't believe in chopping and jumping, and I could go independent tomorrow morning and probably, you know, get a bigger vote. I don't know. I'm quite happy. It's a structure I've always fitted into, and I'm quite happy to do that. I mean, I can stand quite simply before you and say, before that dreaded C word, 2020, There was 1.8 million working here. There's now 2.7. You know what I mean? So odd is not bad, you know. And I think, you know, I'm not getting that odd is lost feeling on the doorsteps and people, you know. I mean, yes, the cost of living has gone up. Yes, there's been challenges. There's been a war. There's been Brexit. There's a lot of challenges. But you look at my community, right? It's very, none of us in Shannon, there's only about 12 or 14 people in Shannon that are actually from there. All the rest of us migrated to Shannon, you know, and they come from all over the world. The first people were in their chillings with Pinochet. There was a crisis in Pinochet. He was a dictator. And we have a large Indian, Filipino, Polish, we have a Ukrainian family now. And they've always been welcome in my town, and they always will be, as long as I have anything to do with it. So I often, when I hear some of the negative commentary at the moment, I wonder how my community, you know, or in Shannon, feel about some of the negative commentary, you know what I mean? So they're good people. All these people are working, you know, and they all came here for different reasons. The Indians, the Chileans came here over The Indians came here, Shannon Aircraft Motorworks. A man called Pramjit Niyoti set up Shannon Aircraft Motorworks. He won't mind me mentioning that. Shannon Aerospace. The Filipinos came here because of Shannon Aerospace. They're all aircraft mechanics. They come from all over the world to work and get trained there. Now it's not owned by it's not Lufthansa now, it's Air Antibot. Do you know what I'm saying? So there was a good reason for a huge amount of people coming in to work and live in our town and raise their families. Their families are now working in, you know, public service in the town. They're working in the industrial bases and that. And our population has always been cosmopolitan. Over 20 years ago, St. Conor's School took part in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and they decided to dress up in their national colours. There was 47 different nationalities in St. Conor's School at that time, which is right across the road from me. That's the kind of town Shannon is.